Party and Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
This has got to be a recording.
Yeah.
Thank you, Adam, for playing that recording of Adam's voice, because there's no way that Adam could be in the studio tonight.
Feeling good.
Soon after surgery. Are you just totally hopped up on opiates or what?
Had a couple of Vicodins. Okay. I'm not going to lie to you.
All right. So that's helping.
Had a nice big day of work. Got up at the crack of F. Well, and, got busy.
Set the stage here. I visited
and by
Adam.
The way, what? I drugged. I had about 13 Vicodin, bottle of red wine, a little Ambien last night. I mean, I was just a medicine.
Let's set the stage. Adam had a hernia operation yesterday, 3 in the afternoon. I went and visited him in the hospital. Saw him before, which he was greeting. He was being greeted by a friend of mine who's an anesthesiologist, a Jamaican fellow.
Yes.
You embarrassed me and him successfully with all that.
I told
him. He was my neighbor.
He was Drew's neighbor. He said... he was anesthesiologist. He came in to visit with me. I had to give him my heavyweight speech. You know,
which turning out to be quite true.
Don't go light, Doc. Go heavy. You're going to err on the side of heavy. Yeah. You know, like I like a bartender who has a heavy hand.
That's like, what you like anesthesiologist with the heavy.
I like a heavy-handed anesthesiologist. I said, look, worse for me to wake up in the middle of it than to die on the table.
So, did you tell him that?
Yeah. So go sick. So that was number one. And then number two, he started kidding me. He said, Jamaican guy. I didn't know what he was.
I think he's something West Indian. He's somewhere in an island kind of thing.
Yeah, he's an island man.
Yeah.
He's a dark-skinned man.
Yeah.
And he said, Drew and I used to be neighbors until he decided he sort of jokingly said, you know, too good for us and moved into a big house down the hill. And I said, I probably shouldn't be saying anything, but it's because you're black.
I happened to arrive as he came storming out of the room, grabbed me, and he says, you move because there are black people living there. So I go in there, at which point the door is thrown open. Adam is peeing.
Trying to pee.
And goes, yeah. Well, this is kind of embarrassing, but I didn't actually say it was because there were black people. I said, you didn't like how the neighborhood was going.
Yeah, it was going in a bad direction. They didn't need his type, I think I said, in there. And that's why packed up and got out of the neighborhood. I wasn't sure. He mentioned that his wife was not a black woman.
That's true.
But I said, that doesn't balance it out. He's looking for blonde people, and maybe this is just, you know, I may be a little doped up here, so.
This is Dr. Cadigan, who's the premier anesthesiologist at the hospital.
I may be running at the mouth a little bit, but that's what Drew told me, and don't tell him I said anything.
So then I saw Adam afterwards, and he was pasty white, didn't remember having seen me before, and I thought, okay, now here we go. This is where this starts. He'll have the same experience I have, where he can't get off his ass for 3 days. Physically can't do it. It's just
Drew had the
impossible.
Same. Drew had the same procedure I had about...
A year ago.
Was it 1 year ago?
You're in a month. You're in 2 months.
Oh, cried like a stuck pig schoolgirl.
Oh, my God. It was awful. I got to work 2 days after my operation, but I had to have somebody bring me in, and it felt like hell. I could barely sit in the car.
Yeah.
And Adams was 28 hours ago. And,
yeah. Now,
he is.
Listen, I worked all day today on the house.
Oh
I was
God.
On a ladder
that is bizarre.
For 6 hours today.
That is bizarre.
I got up at 8:30. I went to my house, and I hung curtain rods for 6.5 hours.
Oh my God.
I felt fine this morning.
That is the difference between a heavyweight and a human. That's not human.
Oh, look. Let me tell you. I had about 13 Vicodin, a bottle of red wine, and like an Ambien last night. I woke up at 8:30 this morning. I was ready to rock. I don't know. I actually have my most productive days after surgery.
I think you get manic. You get bipolar.
I get manic, maybe. And yeah.
But then still, even if I were manic, I wouldn't be able. I couldn't do it. I don't care.
No, I know.
I'd be in bed manic.
No, you know, and I know my wife was telling me to take it easy, and each time she does that, I would
double down.
No, I would do this. She would go like, "You gotta take it easy," and I'd go, "Oh, okay." Start throwing shadow bombs. They're punching in the air. No, stop that.
You'll rip something.
Yeah.
By the way, Dr. Marcel, who I hope you'll see soon, after I had this exact procedure, I did like a month later, he goes, we'll see in a year if this holds. We'll see.
Oh, really?
Hey, talk about naysaying.
Mm. But Drew, no one could be worse than you. You were explaining to me I was going to be in bed, writhing in pain, excruciating pain. I really could have come in last night. I could have. I had my surgery late in the afternoon.
We're not talking a small surgery here. It's a lot of tissue.
Felt like nothing to me.
Oh my god.
I had my surgery later in the day.
Chris, look at his wounds. Look at this.
My wounds.
These are wounds.
All right.
Chris, get your mic there, and you can describe what you're seeing here. Yeah. See?
Oh, wow.
See?
Yeah. It's all stitched up and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking good.
It's good times.
Here's the thing. I had my stuff late in the day. I mean, I didn't get out of the hospital till almost 7 in the evening, about 6:30. I think I got home about
really?
7.
Oh, see, I saw you about 4:30. I thought you were getting going.
I was trying to get going, but whatever the reason
didn't pee.
Is. I had to make my whiz. But the point is I got home at 7 o'clock last night. If I'd had the thing at 8 in the morning or 10 in the morning, I could easily come into work last night. I could have come into work last night anyway. I was just, you know, doped up and said, nah, screw it. But no, it felt fine.
Wow.
Now, who knows? Maybe I'm going to have some sort of relapse or something like that.
But,
I don't have any pain.
No.
I feel great. I'm ready to rock.
Well, take some calls.
All right, let's go. Get a hand in now. Let's break it down.
You've been breaking it down.
Yeah, I've been breaking it down. Now, I'll tell you, the surgery I had a week and a half earlier for my head sweat, much more than this.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Painful. Tough.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's another thing. I had, you know, you have to have that conversation over and over again because when you go to the hospital, they're like,
this will hurt.
What? Oh, you got that one. But no, I mean, any other recent surgeries? yeah. Well, what? Which one? Hyperhidrosis. Excuse me. I got sweat head. What's that? It's a thing where my head sweats. Yes. It's like just weird. It's a weird surgery that no one even really knows about.
Sympathetic blockade.
Sympathetic blockade. I should have
sympathectomy.
Sympathectomy. I should have called it something else. It was confusing.
Yes.
And it feels a little. It feels. It's a weird surgery. It's sort of like puss meets weirdo meets sort of hypochondriac.
Meets an aesthetic procedure.
Yeah. It feels like plastic surgery. Right. It's like you're telling somebody you had a tummy tuck or a brow lift or something. You didn't really need to have it, though, did you?
Right.
And it's weird how people's sympathy level goes depending on how necessary the surgery was.
Oh, sure.
If they deem your surgery unnecessary, it doesn't really matter what it was. If they've deemed it unnecessary, you get zero sympathy.
Because
you get made fun of.
So, you
get a couple of probes shoved in your chest. It was much more than what I had yesterday.
Wow.
And I got zero sympathy from anybody. They're like, oh, all right, Mr. Vanity. Kelly?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yes.
What's up?
I want to know your guys' opinions. Do you believe that homosexuals are born or they're created?
They're both.
Hang on a second. Did you listen to that whole experience of that question?
Yes.
I got a ton of affect from that.
I didn't. I got a lot of Vicodin in me, though.
You don't hear anything. All right, you're blocked.
What'd you say?
Here's the deal. Yes, they are both. They are. There's clearly some sort of biological predisposition, just like for really every behavioral aspect of the human being. It's the experienced environment and the genetic interaction with that experienced environment. And then the environment can have a more or less profound impact that can result in these kinds of phenomena, like sexual orientation issues.
Because with me, I'm bisexual. I have a completely sexual interest in women. Like, I'm married to a man, but I enjoy having sex with women, but I could never see myself in a relationship with women, and
Kelly, this kind of confusion at the age of 25 usually means an environmental problem, some sort of sexual abuse in childhood. And I'd bet same age sexual abuse by a girl age 6 to 8.
Mm.
How's that?
I've never been sexually molested ever.
Mm. You didn't goof around with somebody your own age when you were about 6 to 8 years of age?
Mm.
What?
Yeah, with my cousin. I mean,
okay. Kelly? How did I magically know that?
Says it right there on the screen.
No, it doesn't, though. Does it?
No, it doesn't.
The fact is that that's the kind of environmental hit that results in the behavior that you're manifesting.
Hmm.
I can't hear her now.
Okay. The other part of my question is, I've heard a lot about people having.
Hold on a second.
Can I have a little credit for picking the problem?
Yes, you can.
Thank you.
Not from me. Not from Chris.
But can't
not
you express Kelly. Some outrage that Kelly didn't give me a couple of...
I can, but here's why I'm going to go at you with this one. Because...
How did I know that?
Well, I'll tell you how you knew it. There's not, and it depends what the degree of the contact was. There's not many kids, and you don't believe me on this, but there are not many kids who didn't have some sort of thing that you could twist into sexual contact. It depends what we're talking about.
It does depend what time. I agree with
most
you.
Most kids between the age of 5 and like 10 will tell you there was some hanky panky with some neighbor something that involved some ding-a-ling touching or something like that.
Yes, I'm talking about sexually directed behaviors.
Yes,
that go beyond exploration.
I understand that. The only reason I'm never as impressed with you as you are with you is because A, you're you, and B, there you will twist this into
then
being
do the questioning.
All right, what's that, Kelly?
Okay. Right. There was not any like sexual. I mean, we used to pretend we were on soap operas and we'd pretend we were kissing and show each other our breasts. I mean,
right.
There was nothing more than that. But my other part of my question is, I have threesomes with my husband, and I had him in a previous relationship I was in for 4 years. They never caused problems, but I've read a lot about it, and I've heard a lot about it, that, oh, my God, it can ruin your marriage, it can ruin this, it can ruin that, and as long as there's not emotion involved, do you really believe that it can ruin a relationship in some way?
Always. What happened to the relationship that you're not with the guy anymore?
It had nothing to do with that. We just fought, and it happened. I mean, it was before that, and, you know, we fought all the time, and he was abusive, but it had nothing to do with sex in any way, shape, or form other women.
Look, here's the thing. Here's what we do on this show. People try to pass things off to us as acceptable behavior and normal behavior. And it is to a certain point. Like, you know, you playing a little doctor with your cousin when you're 9, fine. You being violated with a light bulb, not fine. You getting a ear piercing, fine. You getting a hood piercing, not fine. It's a sort of matter of degree. And when we hear about couples that are like swinging or engaging in threesome activity and stuff like that, it doesn't work out.
It means something.
That's right.
It's a symptom of something.
And what you do is you spend your whole life trying to make it okay. Meanwhile, all you do is look in your rearview mirror and see a bunch of failed relationships and kids that hate you.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So you can spend all your energy trying to find people that are sympathetic and tell you it's okay and say that guys like me and Drew are uptight and we don't understand and we're just a man. Listen, I'm an atheist. I don't care about anything.
Yeah,
we don't care.
What you do, I wish it did work. It'd be wonderful if this kind of behavior was a good thing for the human being.
Yes,
no, it's a symptom of something that is not working badly.
And all you idiots who get in a relationship and then announce you're bi means you're not in a relationship.
Right, it means you can't handle a relationship, can't handle intimacy.
You gotta
have arousal, and so she's an addiction and bipolar here.
Speaking of arousal, I was reading the newspaper. Right before I went under last night, I was lying on the gurney, having people walk in explaining to me why I should be more nervous. Why don't they just post a sign? You should be scared assless on the thing instead of having people come in and try to talk you into feeling nervous. Mm. But exalting the benefits of saltines. I was reading the newspaper, and I was reading the Metro section or something, and Mayor Han out here in Los Angeles has vowed to clean up the intersections. I was reading and almost started to spin out of control, like almost needed to be tranquilized with a dart. He was explaining that on Venice, which is our main street, he's got plans.
Oh, no.
He's going to put an arrow in it, La Brea.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. because
that'll speed things
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's got to get the town moving. It's got to get the town moving. But safety, that's
I'm
really
was fly with the gurney, run down the hall of the hospital, screaming like a maniac.
I was starting. My head. You know, smoke was starting to pour from my ears. My nightgown was going to burst into flames. Yes, another arrow. Good job, Han. That's right. Get those arrows going, you jackass. All right, I was going nuts, and I was thinking, I hope Drew gets in here because I got to show him this thing. And then I got all doped up and forgot all about it. But, yeah, safety. That's job one. Got to get the – and I like this, too. It's like, we got to get the town moving. And, and by the way, what is it with these retarded politicians and the sort of, you know, they coin these. Oh, they don't even coin them. It's just all this lip service. Like, people need to get where they're going to. Hold on.
Yeah, write that down.
Where's my scratch pad?
Yeah.
People need to get where they're going to. It's these platitudes, you know. L.A. needs to get moving. People need to get where they're going to, but they need to get there safely. Hold on, Mayor. Slow down. All these pearls.
Yes. Genius.
All these genius. My goodness, you're wasting your time running a city. You should be running a country. You're saying people need to get where they're going to, but they shouldn't be on fire when they get there. These are incredible revelations.
They shouldn't be dead when they arrive. No.
You're like Nostradamus. What do you have? Some sort of crystal ball? Oh, years from. I bet people are calling you a heretic now, but years from now, you'll be like Joan. You'll be like Joan of Arc. Well, you'll go down in the history books. People need to get where they're going to, but they need. Oh, you shut up, you pussy! Stop putting so many goddamn arrows in this city. How about little Mach Schnell? How about we get it going? Jesus Christ! All right, where were we, Joe?
Mike? 25.
Fired up, Mike.
Yes.
Hold on. Had to have the nurse come in and do the gown, you know, with the ass.
Oh, I saw the ass hanging out. You were peeing with your ass hanging out in the middle of the hallway.
Hanging out. Had to have the nurse come in and do the ass tie thing. Is it really?
Yeah.
How about this? Let me ask you this with the gown, because I did 20 minutes on the hospital gown last week. Hospital gown ties up in the back, has not a string, not like a shoelace, but sort of that rope tie. That's
a ribbon.
It's a ribbon. It's about 6 inches long.
Yeah.
Houdini couldn't tie that thing into a proper bow.
Nor undo it once it's tied.
Nor undo it. Full-length mirror. Houdini with a full-length mirror and an assistant couldn't get that thing tied behind you. There's no way to tie the bow behind your thing. Mm-hmm. It's the ass that's hanging out. How about this? You know when you have like a smock or like an apron?
Yeah, comes around the front.
The string is a foot and a half long. Yeah. You whip it around the front. You tie it where you can get to it.
That's what I'm talking about.
How about that?
Genius.
Would adding...
Why don't you call Mayor Hahn? Maybe he'll add it to the hospital.
Adding a foot of yarn to the back
after
of the goddamn rope
after
would be would be the greatest breakthrough in medicine in the last 150 years. Yeah, how about you just whip it around and tie it in front like an apron?
Hmm?
Nope, you're... And by the way, are you supposed to tie it?
It's part of the mystery of that robe.
It is the mystery. It's like, here, put your robe on. Well, put it on. I mean, like, if they were pants, like if hospitals invented pants, they would button in the back and have no fly.
Yes.
And you'd just be walking around with your hand pinching the thing together and your ass crack hanging out.
Like, that's right.
You want me to tie this or don't you want me to tie it? What are we doing here? You've got 4.5 inches of pressed cloth that I'm supposed to try to get my hands behind. Well, hey, how about just let me whip it around tight in front like a human being? Really, they ought to really come out with other apparel. They ought to come out with shoes where the heel is on the toe and on top. They come out with pants with no zipper that button up in the back.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, no button.
No button.
Just a little piece of yarn in the back. They'd have a shirt with no buttons and
that
go along the side.
Yeah.
What else could they come up with? Glasses with no frames? What else? Jesus Christ. Drew, how about an extra foot and a half of goddamn yarn on there so I could tie the thing around front like an apron?
Perfect.
Isn't that
genius.
A decent idea?
Yeah, genius, I tell you.
All right. And then they could untie it when they... All right. Do they want to see ass?
Evidently, because they have to see a lot. Yours, though, might have changed the tide, though.
I think I may have turned the tide. Yeah, there's probably a memo up today. But I'm just saying...
Around the
nurses,
water cooler this morning, quite a talk.
These nurses must see 7,000 lineal feet of ass crack mm-hmm. every year. I
oh,
mean,
yeah.
just enough to a 2-lane highway of ass crack from here to New York.
Oh, yeah.
Of ass crack.
Yep.
I mean, it's just got to be nonstop old guy ass crack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. They're dying for ass.
Evidently.
What? All right, Drew, get
the important
in there
part of the
and
procedure.
Do something.
Mike, 25.
Hey, how are you doing, guys? First, I have a question. I want to finish out with a statement about last night's show, but I don't want to say the statement first so you guys get a biased opinion of how to answer my question.
All right.
Sound good? Okay, basically, I
fell in love last night's show. He's calling
what?
From Chicago.
Oh, with estrogen and about girls.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, Adam, you weren't there, but now you can sit on your throne. And listen, I have a question about phone sex and as a tool for enduring the what's missing from a long distance relationship that will hopefully end up in a long term relationship. And basically, I fell in love with a girl from Germany in Milan while I was studying there,
mm-hmm.
and we were together for maybe what was a month, and then we had to go apart. And as a way to deal with it, just like the physical, you know, neglect or, I don't know, withdrawal that you can have with a person. We've been having phone sex and just, and I don't know. And I think as actually a segue from that last caller, you know, as a way to deal with my fantasies, I'm 25 years wise and I'm kind of like growing out of the phase that, yes, I can have open relationships and things like that.
Hold on with the commentary. Yeah. Listen, did you have sex with her?
Yeah.
Multiple times when you're with her in Milan?
Yeah, definitely. And actually, I want to tell you, like, the first time we had sex, it started out as a fantasy, like role-playing.
All right. When's she coming back from Germany?
Right, when you can actually see her again?
Basically, she's got the plane ticket booked for September, because when she finishes school, their schedule's off a little bit. But she's didn't get a job at BMW, so she's going to probably come now in July.
And July of this year?
Know,
I mean, this? I, you mean right now?
Not less.
Yeah, Mike is.
She had a plane ticket booked for September.
Yeah.
She was flying Braniff, actually. She got bumped up to coach. She went from coach to business.
First, it was a weekend because you have to have 7-day advance and the weekend stay across the Saturday.
Her father's a frequent flyer, and she used some of his mileage to get the business class bump up.
Right.
Well,
all right,
anyway,
Mike. When's she coming out here, goofball?
She's coming out here in September. But she's planning on changing her flight earlier. She's coming out for a month. She finishes a semester, and then she's moving here.
Did you understand what he said? I have no idea what he just said.
Is she coming out in July, or is she coming out in September?
She bought a plane ticket for September to October, okay? But a job didn't go through with BMW, so she bought a ticket to come earlier in summer.
So she's coming in July.
If all things work out perfectly, yes.
Why aren't you angrier?
Me?
What?
You're too loaded up on Vicodin?
I got Vicodin in me. I don't care. So what do you want?
I just want to know, do you think that, okay, there's this fantasy about people who have an alter reality says, yes, we can have threesomes or we can have fantasies. And do you think that phone sex, you know, creativity and get some of those, you know, some of those manly kind of like ego?
Mike, here's the deal. Mike. You are spinning like a top. You have no, you're 25, but you seem to understand your sort of emotional and interpersonal life circa 16-year-old, right?
Yeah.
Maybe 15.
I don't know what the question is.
I don't know if this is your first relationship or what, but I imagine
Mike's
it is.
Mike's a nerd.
Yeah.
Mike hasn't had a lot of relationships.
But you really stop thinking so damn much. Here's the bottom line. She's coming out here. You guys really like each other.
Fine.
You want to keep it going? Fine.
Yeah.
If you're not going to be spending a lot of time together, meaning at least 6 months out of the next 12, this will never work. This will never work. You can't, at your age, you just can't get it going across 6,000 miles in that kind of time.
Mike's all up in his head.
Oh, my God. But he doesn't understand anything. He's trying to reason it out as though he were reasoning about
the construction of a building. If she comes out in July, start the relationship in July. If she comes out in September, if the BMW job doesn't go through...
If phone sex helps you sustain, feel intimate, fine. That's great.
All right. Let's take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'll tell you, I've had the week off of Kimmel show this week, and it just it doesn't feel like the week. Tomorrow's Friday.
Yeah. Anyway, and there was plus the holiday in for Monday too.
I worked. I did the Kimmel show on Friday night, so it felt like I was working Friday night. And of course, we work Sunday, and then
we were off Sunday though.
Sunday, but I just mean it turns into a 6-day week.
Right.
Then the 4th of July, and then you know Monday was had the week off, and then yesterday I had to go do this, or day before I had to do this like prep for the surgery, and I had to do the sort of prep. The surgery was kind of lost. Mm-hmm. It's like it's Friday already. Mm-hmm. It was like lost week. But good times. All right. Where the hell were we there, Drew? Speak to Alicia.
That's it.
All right. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I don't know who's coming up next week because there's nothing up there on the board. Alicia?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yep.
What's up?
Well, I have a problem. I've been involved with this guy for the last 8 months. We work together every day. We've known each other for about 5 years. We are both involved. I left my relationship about a year ago. I have a 3-year-old daughter. Since the day I met this guy, I felt like I was in love with him. I left it alone because we were both involved with other people. At this point, he's still involved. And after I left my relationship of 4 years, he let me know how he feels. And
do you have asthma or something?
I was premature when I was born.
Wow. You have pulmonary hypoplasia or something?
I had the pulmonary valve by my ear did not close.
Wow.
When I was born, so I had to have surgery at a week old.
You have still some kind of obstructive lung disease, too.
They told me my airways are small.
Wow, I also say.
I also smoke, so that doesn't help.
No kidding.
That's a deal breaker, by the way, the obstructed airway, because I'm a BJ guy. I don't need someone like... You know what I mean?
Well, no, she doesn't have septal nasal obstruction.
How's it do for BJ? I gotta hear you gasping for air down there the whole time?
No.
I might have to turn
the
stereo up.
I've had no complaints, so...
She's fine. So what is your question?
I get...
By the way, women make that proclamation all the time.
No complaints.
I got no. Yeah. What guy? What guy's really raising a stink about getting a BJ? Oh,
how
please.
Dare you?
Oh, the humanity. Oh, when is this going to be over with? Oh, I'd rather get my wisdom.
I want my money back. Hey, what? Hey, come on. You build this as something totally different.
Yeah.
How dare you?
I mean, when you said BJ, my mind went to a beautiful sexual experience. This is not. This is like some bad timeshare.
I want to talk to the manager.
Where's the manager?
What's your name? What's your name,
sweetie? Let me see your badge. What's that say? Okay. All right. I'm gonna get him on the horn. All right. So anyway.
Okay.
So, no complaints.
No complaints.
You got a 3-year-old. You're out of a relationship. He's still in a relationship.
Right.
And what's the question?
Okay, so my question is he tells me how he feels about me, and I truly believe the guy.
No, that's your first mistake.
Yeah.
What?
Words are cheap. Action tell you much more about how they're actually feeling.
Right. And that's how I feel at this point. I've asked,
well, he's still involved, so his actions are telling you something very clear.
You guys have been fooling around for how long?
8 months.
Well, we haven't exactly been fooling around. I mean, things have happened within the last 5 months, but...
Well, what do you mean, things have happened?
Here and there when there's time, you know.
How is that not fooling around?
Well, okay, so he gets out when he can and whatever, but I just...
People have to distort and deny
Why is everyone giving me a hard time? So you guys have been fooling around? Well, I wouldn't call it fooling around. He gets out when he can.
And things happen.
What do you think I'm talking about? What did I say? It's all semantics. It's like,
but again,
it
means she's
around.
Spinning yarns. It
I
means
know.
She's spinning
Look,
a tail.
Hey, Alicia, right? You got a 3-year-old. How about you find a nice guy who can be a father to that 3-year-old instead of a screwball philanderer?
Okay, well, he wants to be involved in my life. He says he feels he's stuck and he doesn't know where he stands.
Well, why is he stuck?
Why is he stuck? Why can't he leave his girlfriend? It's not his wife, it's his girlfriend.
Right, right. And it's not so easy nowadays to just...
No.
What are you talking about? Alicia, what are you talking about?
Now, 300 years ago, it was no problem.
I have a 3-year-old, and it's hard for me to pay my rent in an apartment with her, being able to try and support two of us by myself.
Right.
So it's not so easy for someone who is splitting rent with someone to just pick up and go
He's living with his girlfriend.
Right.
Oh, Alicia, what are you... Come
what
on.
Are you doing?
Alicia, come on.
Come on, just find a regular guy, would you? What's wrong with you?
Okay, yeah, I understand that I'm not in the best situation, but like I said, when I met this guy, I felt I was in love with him.
Well, that's great,
but
it's not the right guy.
That was some years ago, and he's not moving.
He's not made a move. He's still where he is, and he ain't going
anywhere. So here we go, baby. Let's go. Let's go now. You got a 3-year-old. Come on, Mommy. Why don't you set an example? Drew, get on Cadence. Let's go. You're screwing up now. You got a 3-year-old. Let's focus.
It's like I screwed up with her father. You know?
Yeah, all right. You're a screw-up, so stop it.
It's like this is not my plan.
All right. Listen, everybody. What's wrong with everybody?
Everyone's in their head today. Everyone's going to tell us how it's supposed to be or how they want it to be or how it is in their point of view.
3 years. What do you want to give it, 8 years? What's long enough for you? He's been with someone for 3 years. By the way, he's not a great guy. He's living with a chick. He's screwing around with you on the side.
Right.
You're mother now. Start acting like a mom. No relationship is better than a bad relationship. Just find some guy who can be present, who can be a potential father for your child, and settle into something.
There we go.
And what are you talking about? Rent and what? What
She's
are you
making
talking
excuses
about?
For why he can't extract himself from his current relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just look at what is, ladies and gentlemen. Just what is. Not what ought to be, what you think it is, what the blah, 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 blah. Just what is. What just say it over to yourself. What describe the circumstance. I'm involved with a guy who cheated on his girlfriend with me, mm-hmm. has not made a move to move out with her or to end that relationship at all.
Mm-hmm.
With tons of excuses as to why he can't. Yep, there you go.
I got a nice call from my dad today.
Oh yeah? You hear you talking on the radio?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Or somebody told him about it?
Look, hey, Dad, you're a pussy. You're a huge pussy. I call my dad a pussy 750,000 times on the radio. My dad's never heard me on the radio.
Okay, right. And what happened when he called?
He said, how'd the hernia surgery go? Just calling the checkup on that. And I got to turn the Infinity in. The lease is up on Friday, so you were talking about getting a Jag. So I did about 10 minutes on the Jag.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Got to get those wheels. He just left a message.
Ugh.
My dad will, here's the thing. Here's the thing about my dad.
Well, get them going on the Prius.
I can speak with impunity here because he's never heard the show a day in his life. My dad will sit down and lecture you for hours on end of why we need to not be attached to this sort of earthly
belongings.
The earthly belongings,
meaningless possessions.
The meaningless possessions, yes. The empty possessions. Sure, you know, your bank account's full, but your soul is empty. I got to lease him a car. He wants a nice car, though. That's the whole thing. It's like, I'd like that kind of life, too, where I just sat around and talked about how it was really about spirituality. And but I want to live in a nice house. I want to drive a nice car, so I got to get someone to pay for it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's like it's a kind of a version of anarchy.
He's right in theory. None of us should be attached to any earthly possessions. Fine. Take the bus, old man. Oh, don't want to take the bus. Interesting. You want a nice... Oh, you want air conditioning? You want a moonroof? You want reclining seats? Interesting. Cruise control. Interesting. But nothing attached. You understand that the car's wheels attached to the earth. They turn on the earth. Yeah, no, no, man. I'm not going to spend my time. I'm not going to dance for the man. I'm going to read. You know, I got books. I got Jung. I got Kierkegaard. I got Freud. I got Nietzsche. I'll read them all. I don't have a car. Yeah. How about you get me a car, and I'll stay home and talk about how this doesn't mean anything to me. Yes. Okay. There you go. That's it. Charles?
Yes.
15?
Yes.
What's up?
My sister keeps having sex with her current boyfriend, and she's already had an abortion twice. Mm-hmm. And I'm just...
How do you know?
I'm trying to figure out how...
How do you know?
Because it's been a big family thing.
Yeesh.
She talks about it with everybody in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm just trying to figure out how to get her to stop, because my parents won't do anything about it.
Stop having sex or stop getting pregnant?
Both.
You're not going to be able to stop. How old is she?
17.
You're not going to be able to stop her from having sex.
No. But fill her vagina with cement.
I don't think that'll work.
Put a pole in it and play tetherball.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. But
hey, Drew, you know what you don't see anymore?
Tetherballs.
Coffee cans with cement in it.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be like every third thing. Somehow, if you're doing like a volleyball net or a mailbox or something, somebody decided in 1971 that if you took a big can, like a big coffee can, mm-hmm. like the 5-gallon kind or the 3-gallon one, and you filled it with cement and you stuck like a piece of pipe in it, you could use it for a flagpole. You would drag it. People kind of roll it, right? They drag it around everywhere. Never see it. It's an idea that came and went.
Yeah.
We fell in love with it from like 71 to 74, mm-hmm. and now it's gone.
Our technology moved on.
Something happened that we decided we didn't need poles stuck in coffee cans that had cement in them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Charles.
Yes.
Charles, how about getting her over to Planned Parenthood or something, getting some counseling on birth control?
Brother, did you find Jesus Christ or something, Charles?
No, I'm atheist.
Huh?
I'm atheist.
Oh, atheist.
Yes.
All right. When she goes in for these abortions, don't they put her on the pill?
My mom doesn't want to put her on the pill because she says it's too expensive.
It's nothing to do with your mom. They would give her the pill when she goes in for the abortion.
Your mom says it's $29.
I've been thinking this call is bogus in the beginning.
Yeah. All right. We don't believe you, Charles. Sorry. Now the phone's crapping out. I mean, look, it's cheaper basic cable, for Christ's sake.
It's too vague, too convenient. The parents don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
That's too vague. And then mom won't pay for the birth control pill that maybe no one has to pay for.
And she keeps bringing it up with the whole family.
Yeah, it doesn't all fit together.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Yeah. All right. You ready to rock and roll?
Yeah, let's
here,
break
Drewski?
It down. Here we go.
Let's go now. Drew's got a little head cold or something's going on. What do you got going there, buddy?
Cold is horrible.
Yeah?
It's pathetic.
Yeah.
It's especially pathetic given your heavyweight status now.
Yeah.
You have somebody carve on you and you're walking around working all day. I have snot running out of my nose. I'm like a 4-year-old.
Yeah, I felt
ridiculous.
Feel fine. All right, let's talk to Brittany. Brittany.
Hi.
16, what's up?
Not much. Hey, I have a question, though.
All right.
I have liked this guy for about, 10 or 11 months, and we're really close friends, and I really want to have sex with him, and I was wondering actually how to go about the act of doing it or, asking him to do it.
What is the situation with this guy? Is he just a friend, or do you want somebody you want to date?
He's just a really close friend, and I just kind of feel that connection with him.
Okay, well, do you know that by having sex with him, it'll sort of make you feel even more sort of romantically inclined to him? Is he available for that kind of relationship?
Yeah, but we're not, into the whole, dating thing.
He's not?
He's not.
It's kind of like both of us, but more so him.
Yeah, he's not.
More so him. Yeah more so. Let me do 108% would be more so him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not into you.
He's not going to have a relationship with you, Brittany.
Yeah, but
he
might throw you a finger or something.
Yeah, he will have sex with you, no problem. But all you have to do is sort of just He must any way you deliver the message, he will respond.
He must be dating other people.
Right.
No, he's like single.
He's single?
He doesn't see other girls at all?
He hooked up with a lot of chicks, but that's about it.
How do you know he's not into you?
Because we've talked about it.
And what, he says he just, you know, doesn't want to jeopardize the friendship?
Well, I think it's just because, like, he's 16. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
He doesn't want to ruin our friendship.
Yeah, we'll translate that for you, Brittany.
Not attracted.
He's not attracted.
At all.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Guys don't care about ruining friendships. Guys would down a jetliner if that meant they could have sex with you.
If they wanted to.
Ruin a friendship. By the way, Drew, has it ever sprinted through your mind or scurried through your mind or scuttled through your mind that you were really attracted to some chick but you didn't want to jeopardize the friendship?
You know what's interesting about that?
The reason you're friends with people that you're attracted to is because you want to bone them. It's when a guy says that, girls, when a guy says he doesn't want to jeopardize his friendship with you, he ain't attracted to you.
But a guy that's really directed, really attracted, the whole concept of friendship won't even enter his, you know what I mean? It's like, that's like trying to think about.
Yeah, friendship with a 16-year-old girl, such thing.
No, it just doesn't. He couldn't even squeeze it into his mind if he was attracted.
Now, what Brittany is planning on doing is trying to lose her virginity to this guy, thinking that the sexual encounter is going to somehow draw him in.
Yeah.
It's only going to draw her in.
Yes,
and
keep
disappoint
him out.
Her.
Yes, keep him out.
Yes.
Yeah,
so one more time, Brittany.
Yeah.
Please don't do this.
Don't do this.
Please don't do it.
It's going to screw you up.
It's going to hurt you.
Find a guy you're into.
Who's into you?
Who's
into you? You got to have reciprocity in a relationship.
Okay? You must have reciprocity.
We've got to go back and forth, one way.
All right?
Okay. Thank you for all your help. I really appreciate
Find a guy who's into you. And there are guys who are into you. You're just not into them. And you're into this guy because he's sort of lukewarm on you. And there's nothing that drives a 16-year-old out of her gourd like a guy who could sort of take or leave you.
No. But 16-year-old?
Hey, I was 16 to 40. Yeah. John?
Yeah, how's it going?
23, what's up?
I had a couple questions. Adam, how do I win a drinking contest? I have a drinking contest coming up where me and my buddy are going to have a 30-pack each, and we have to try to kill him, or whoever passes out or throws up first loses.
Where's my bourbon?
I've seen people die from those. I don't mean to seem like just the man here, but I've certainly seen people on ventilators, and I've seen them actually die from alcohol poisoning and drinking.
30 pack.
Yeah.
Well, that was my second question, Dr. Drew. Whether can I hurt myself doing this? Because there's been a time before when I drank a lot of vodka, and I ended up throwing up blood the next day.
Yeah.
And the next couple days, I couldn't keep anything down.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a non-question, right?
And that worried me a little bit, but I got over it. Kind of like walk it off, you know.
Yeah, you're back. You're like an athlete that sustains an injury, and you're back.
Yeah, and John, except for the death I mentioned,
like that.
The respiratory failure,
it's
and the vomiting blood, except for that, don't worry about it.
So do whatever you want, idiot. What do we need John for? So he dies. Big deal. We get rid of John. Really? You need John running
around?
Every
life is precious, monsieur.
Yeah, everyone. We're all precious. We're all the same. We can't judge. Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
What's happening? You're
21. Nothing much. I'm actually the assistant general sales manager for Claremont, the number 2 Toyota dealership in America.
Number 2. Let me guess.
Toyota?
Let me guess, Steve.
Is that number 1?
No, actually, no one will catch Longo Toyota. We're right behind Longo.
You're right behind, and I'll tell you.
My wife tried to buy a car from you guys.
She actually did.
No way.
Yeah, she did. She ended up at Longo instead.
Oh. Well, let me tell you how they're why they can offer the best deals. Volume. That's number 1. Also,
selection,
volume, they're unsurpassed, and no reasonable offer will ever be turned down. But let me explain this. What month are we in, Drew?
Of what? 2004?
Summer?
Yes.
You know what's going on now?
Summer giant summer sale.
Dealing days.
Dealing
days. These are dealing days. We got to make room for the 2005.
Right.
I like it this way. I like when the guy does the commercial where he screwed up and his boss is going to get him in trouble. Mm. It's like, Hi, I'm Bob Jenkins, a sales manager for Longo Toyota. I ordered too many Camrys. If my boss finds out that I've had this many Camrys, well, if he's got a radio, he might find out about this. I got to move these. We got to clear it out. We're making room.
Let's hear what Steven says. Let's get it clear what his place is, because you've mentioned Longo 12 times.
The commercials you're talking about, I'm actually on them, which is kind of...
Wow, that's interesting.
Are. Yeah. All right, so... You guys are number two in the U.S.
What's the name of your sales dealership?
Claremont Toyota.
Claremont Toyota.
All right.
Yeah.
What about
basically, the way the Priuses work, because you were talking about a Prius or a Jaguar, the way the Priuses work, it's a five-month wait because you get on a waiting list.
Right, because they're hybrids.
I can get you guys one tomorrow if you want it. And usually it's full sticker for the actual. That's the way that they're going right now.
What is the sticker on the Prius?
Anywhere from 23 to 26, depending on what package you wanted.
Right. And this is a hybrid car, right?
Of course. It's actually half gas, half electric engine.
Right.
It's regeneration braking, the synergy, I mean, everything.
How do they drive?
Awesome. They have. I live in Apple Valley.
Wow.
And I commute every single day. I've taken one up there, actually. And the gas mileage is awesome in those things. We actually, the one that we've had on our lot, we've had on there probably about 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
And we filled it up once, and it still has a quarter tank in there and 720 miles on it.
Wow.
Hold on a second, Steve.
We got
to take a break, but yeah, they get like 70 miles to the gallon.
That's what I want my kids to drive.
All right, hold on a second. We'll take a little break. We'll get back. We'll talk about hybrid cars and all that after this. Hey everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Yeah, I want to give a quick plug out. I'm hosting a special on ABC that is airing this Sunday. It's a two-hour special called The Great Domestic Showdown, I think.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's actually decent. They gave me a tape. I've not seen it yet. I can't stand watching me. But I like to hear the sound of my own voice. I'll tell you that.
Yeah,
that's
pretty true.
Nobody
pretty
loves obvious, the sound of their own voice like me. But I don't like watching me. But, keep in mind, they probably cut out all my best jokes. But the show's kind of interesting, I think. So that is this Sunday, 9 o'clock, ABC. It is a Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Is it the 11th coming up?
Yeah.
All right. When we left off, we were speaking to Steve on line one. Steve?
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, you work for Claremont Toyota.
I do. Really quick, Adam, I've been listening forever. I can honestly say I listened to the very first day you were on the air.
Wow. Really?
It was actually when Scotty Farrell and you were actually... when they were training you. So that's all I ever listened to. Anyways, back to the Prius.
Yeah, now the Prius. All right, now let's talk about these hybrid automobiles for just 1 second. Now, as you know, Steve was probably listening when I was talking about my dad, who I have to lease an automobile for because he's that financially well off that he needs a son. And by the way, it's one thing when your dad puts you through medical school and now it's time to pay him back. My loser dad, I swear, may that TV monitor fall on my head if I'm exaggerating one iota. From age 13 to age to whenever I left the house, he's got about $500 into me.
Nice.
That's round. That's a high number. That's high number.
Now, rounding
up. Now I'm not talking about eggs and flour and if you want to count rent or, I was living at his house. But, I mean, in terms of money, just handed out $500, and that would include clothes. Now, I don't have yearbooks because my dad was so goddamn cheap.
You don't have a high school diploma.
Well, I don't have a high school.
Because he was so cheap.
I don't have a high school diploma. Andrew,
because he couldn't pay
ask me if I ever had a dog.
Oh, yeah.
Ask me if I ever had a... What about basketball hoop?
Yeah.
No.
Basketball hoop?
No. Nothing.
A baseball?
No. Nope.
Oh, my God.
No. Look, I'll tell you the balls I had. I had home run balls that I hit in Little League that I would use that are lost now because I would use those for the balls. No. My dad, cheap and a pussy. Now, but I leased him a car because I feel sorry for the guy.
Now, I was one that brought up the Prius.
Oh, yes.
Because I thought that would be appropriate.
Now, what happened is I leased my dad an expensive luxury car, and every time I see him, he's driving my stepmom's minivan because it gets 4 miles a gallon better than the expensive Infiniti Q4 G45 or Q45 I get him. And so I decided I should just, it's his lease is up, 5-year lease, by the way. I pay insurance, too, on the car. You know, it's cost me $40,000.
And in California with the DMV registration, it's about $800 just to register the damn car. Right?
Yeah.
Had our previous governor had to say it would have been $2,400 to register the car.
And he lets my stepmom, who kicked my ass around the house for 5 years before she finally booted me out of the garage when I was 19, drive the car. I lease him. So now lease is up. He needs a new ride. So, and again, people think, well, wait a minute. Is the show on in Los Angeles? Adam's calling his dad a cheap pussy? On Los Angeles radio, where his dad is? My dad's never heard the show a day in his life. I can guarantee you that. He asked me the other night if I was working Saturday night. He thought we did the show Saturday night. He has no idea. And my dad also has no friends. There's nobody he speaks to.
No.
People say, it's like, doesn't it get back to him? Should call him a pussy on the air every other night? No. He doesn't know anybody. Wow. Doesn't have any friends. Ooh. No one talked to him. So
the Prius, I thought, would be more appropriate.
The Prius would be more appropriate for my dad because he's so worried about gas mileage.
Plus, he'd be the coolest dad in town. I know. Envy of all his non-friends.
Now, the Prius gets about 70 miles to the gallon?
It actually gets 51 in the city. Actually, about 51 in the city. And actually, 51 on the highway and 60 in the city.
Yeah, that's what's weird about it. It's more in the city.
Oh, it's more in the city because it runs off the electric?
Because the braking.
No, it's the regeneration braking. That's the whole reason for it.
You're braking more in the city.
Now, the difference between the Jaguar and the Prius is the Jaguar is a beautiful car. It's actually built on a Ford Taurus chassis. The reason I know that is I used to have a Ford Taurus.
Right.
Also, the second thing about the Prius, it actually costs around $45,000 to make. The government actually picks up the rest of the tab because it's such an economical car. It saves gas mileage, lower prices in gas, and it's better for the economy as far as pollution, that type of thing.
Right, right. And now what is, can you lease these Priuses or do you have to buy them?
No, of course you can. You can lease them.
All right. Well, I didn't know because there's like a waiting list and stuff on them.
Yeah, at our certain dealership, there's a 35-person waiting list. They've stopped the waiting list.
I'd like to see that group of long hair, Birkenstock wearing. Hey, pops, you dropped your beads. Out of the way. Yeah.
Why'd they stop the list?
They actually stopped the list because our general manager Dave Scott actually said, "You know what? No one wants the list. When the list drops out, whatever Prius comes in, it's a free for all."
They just can't make them fast enough, huh?
Right, because they come fast, they go fast. Now, what we can actually do for you, though, Adam, just being the man that you are. And for me listening to so long, the next one that comes in with the package with the color that you want, I can get it free that day. Not a problem.
I don't care what color it is because S brown with do you have one that looks like bird, like a seagull S?
If it's like
that's not my car.
If it's brown, you'd actually take it in the brown.
I would take one with a swastika painted, scratched into the hood with a Confederate flag on the roof.
Oh, my God.
I don't care. Let me tell you how little my dad cares about cars, by the way. I go out and get him his car and bring it back. He doesn't know what car I'm getting or what color it is or what the interior
is
or anything.
Explain the brake regeneration thing.
Oh, the brake regeneration thing is when you brake, it recharges
the battery.
The battery, right?
Yeah, does every time that you actually stop, it recharges the battery.
Right, for the electric motor.
The energy that normally would be dissipated in braking is converted into...
Genius.
Yeah, energy.
Now, let me ask you this. Is this car... So what are we talking about, like, for a lease payment? Like a monthly lease payment?
There's actually a couple of things that would factor into that as far as down payment. If you had a trade, if you wanted to actually return your lease to us, credit history...
None of that stuff.
Credit history, that's bad.
Oh, not mine, but my dad has no credit history.
Well, you're leasing it, not him.
But you'd
be
leasing.
Yeah, my credit history is fine.
Well, Adam, I wouldn't even question that.
I'm literally a millionaire. Literally.
Well, but, of course.
But Steve, what are we talking about? $400 a month?
About that.
Okay. Let me ask you this. How are these cars selling in the rest of the country? Because I imagine California, and especially Los Angeles, San Francisco, Southern California, they're moving like hotcakes. Are they selling in Iowa? Are they selling in Indiana?
These are the hottest cars in the market right now, because also Honda has a hybrid car too. We're actually selling all of our technology to the other dealers, as far as like Ford, Chevy, Honda. That type of thing. We're actually selling the old model that came out last year. We're actually selling that model technology to these other companies because ours is so well advanced. That's why Toyota is the best hybrid car you can buy on the market.
Honda's coming out with a hybrid Accord, by the way, that I just read about. But look, this is, by the way, we're about 30 years too late with all this stuff. And I know the battery technology wasn't what it was. It wasn't what it is today 30 years ago. But it seems like we're way behind in this department.
It's a Japanese company.
And what I'm asking, though, Steve, is there is a waiting list to get one of these cars in Los Angeles. Is there a waiting list to get one in Iowa?
There's a waiting list everywhere.
And are they selling them in Iowa?
Yes, they are.
Wow, and I know I'm running this into the ground, but I'm not. I'm just for some reason.
Brian, keep Steve's phone number.
Yeah,
I don't want that.
For some reason, I'm just not picturing them selling them on the farm belt. Yeah, you know, well, a lot of people drive trucks out there, and the weather, for instance, maybe it's not great for the snow. Listen, Steve, I already talked to my buddies over at Galpin Ford, and I'm already got the Jag lined up.
Adam, you're a pussy.
Yeah, it's cheap. No, this is the cheap one. It's like $399 or something. So fine, but Steve, God bless you. By the way,
I'm going to call Steve. I want Steve's phone number.
You're not going to drive one of these cars.
About the car. My wife driving. I'm so tired of going to the pump and paying $50 twice a week.
Yeah, well, Drew drives. Well, Drew, I told you when you got your car, you should get another car. You should get a highway car. Mm-hmm. It's cheap. Mm-hmm. And by pay for itself in a year with the amount you're spending.
True.
All right. Jenny?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Am I on?
Yes.
Yeah. About a month ago, had a bump down there, and it looks like genital warts to me, and I looked online and everything, and it totally has to be, but I've only been with one guy for like 4 years, and he doesn't have anything on him.
Yeah, but he was with somebody else before he was with you.
Yeah, but I don't understand if he doesn't have anything on him, it's nothing visible on him. That
you do not have to have the warts to be contagious with the wart virus.
Okay.
You don't have to see the warts.
Okay, and are they going to always be there, or is it kind of like hurt? Like, does it go away, come back? Do I get outbreaks if I get treatment, or is it just there?
It's there. You have to have it taken off. It will spread if you don't take it. You'll have more if you don't get rid of the one that's there. And the sort of risk is of these warts that they can increase your risk of cervical cancer, so you have to get very regular pelvic exams. And understand that those viruses, or rather those warts that persist, in other words, they don't seem to kind of go away on their own, are the ones that are highly likely to be associated with cervical cancer.
Okay, and the girl he was with before, they were both virgins. So obviously she couldn't have just had it, so he's obviously been with somebody else.
It's hard to do the wart math, but just assume that maybe they weren't both virgins.
Maybe
there's one that people do tend to stretch the truth a little when it comes to their sexual history, and maybe this is the case.
Yeah.
Either way, I don't know. Either way, trying to sort of trace it is sort of moot.
I know. There are even weird things where people get it on their hand and then get it in the vagina. They can happen, but that's pretty weird. That's pretty unusual.
Yeah. Well, look, it takes all kinds. I've said it many times. Angelina?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I've been married for about 5 months now, and I have a very irregular kind of sex drive. I have one minute I'm just completely all for it and everything's regular and we're just, you know, being regular newlyweds, and then the next week I'll just be so completely shut out and just, like, grossed out by the idea, and I panic whenever he touches me.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like that bipolar quality that people get when they're sexual trauma survivors.
Well, I've never been, diagnosed with it. I mean, I was raped about, a year ago, and so I've had several people say that could be it.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I just said. There could be some sexual trauma.
And
people often, if they've had sexual trauma...
Who raped you a year ago?
It was a friend's boyfriend. Broke into my house.
Wow.
Broke in?
Yeah, he wasn't supposed to be there, and she told him that she was spending the night, and he came through my parents' back bedroom door and did his thing.
Did you prosecute him?
You know what the police told me? They said some girls like it rough because I knew him and because we had been, we all went to a movie that night.
Hold on a second. That's not what the police said.
Guy broke into my house and raped me. Well, some gals like what we call rough trade. So why don't you just chalk this one up to experience?
Irvine PD.
Yeah, we got a roll on a 522. That's so,
it takes all kinds. Good times.
Dog barking.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Now, then.
That says something about her. Something's up with
all
her.
Right, let's go before this now. Yes. Angelina?
Yeah.
What happened before this?
What do you mean?
Before this rape.
Nothing really.
No sexual abuse?
No, never.
Or physical abuse?
Nope.
Growing up?
Where's your dad?
My dad is here at home. He's a really wonderful man. He is.
Not an alcoholic.
No, I mean, alcoholic, that runs in our family, yes, but he's not now.
He's not.
Who's alcoholic?
Who's alcoholic?
My uncle is severely alcoholic.
And he never touched you when you were younger?
No, he's made me feel a little uncomfortable just because he's kind of like that, but he's never done anything to me. I mean, that I know of.
Okay.
No, I mean, maybe when I was really young, but...
All right. And your mom?
She's good? Wonderful.
Okay, so let me get this straight then. You went to a movie with your friend and her boyfriend?
Yes.
The three of you?
Yes.
You had no boyfriend at the time?
No, I didn't have a boyfriend at the time.
So the three of you went out to a movie?
Yes.
And then later on that night, you came home?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
She said, "Can I stay in your guest room?" I said, "Sure." Her parents were supposedly out of town. She was visiting from college.
Uh-huh.
She had brought her boyfriend down at the firm just to visit. And she said, "Can he stay at your house?" And I said, "Well, no, my parents wouldn't approve of that." Mm-hmm. He left. And about 2 a.m.
She went to sleep in your guest room.
Yeah, in my guest bedroom.
All right. Then 2 a.m.
We went to bed probably about, 11:30. 2 a.m., I wake up, and he's really right in front of me. And it was it wasn't a good scene, obviously.
Did he have a weapon or something? What happened?
No, he didn't. But he used horrible force. He put his finger in my mouth and held my tongue down. And
couldn't yell or anything?
I could yell, but obviously she didn't hear anything.
You woke up to find him standing at the foot of your bed?
Yeah. Well, next to my bed, right, literally on me.
How did he get into the house?
Through the sliding gate. She afterwards said that she had let him in the room. They had had sex. She let him sleep in the bed. We have a huge home, so I would never even have known. We don't have an alarm or anything.
Right.
When she fell asleep, he came into the bedroom and did what he did with me. Went back and then slept with her again.
Wow, this guy's got a... Drew, I've labeled you as a passionate man in the past. This guy's beyond that.
What a
motor. He had sex with his girlfriend.
And then sex with her friend.
Now, was he drunk?
Not to my knowledge, not when I was there, but I wouldn't have put it past him.
Okay, so... What movie did you see, by the way?
Ghost Ship.
Ghost Ship. Oh, man.
Yeah.
He could have been traumatized. It was such a crappy
movie.
Maybe if I was his attorney, I'd be. He was so traumatized, he felt raped by the $8 he put out that
he went by some weird name. And then when we found out, when I went to the police, tried to do some type of a search on him, there was no name for that.
Okay, hold on a second.
Who is your girlfriend? Okay. What's up with her?
Yeah, your girlfriend sounds like a delight. So you wake up to find the guy standing next to you in the bed on top of you, basically.
Yes.
shoves his hand down your mouth, so you can't...
How come you didn't bite his hand?
Oh, I bit his hand.
Okay.
Absolutely. He had three stitches on his finger. He had scratches all over him.
You bite his hand.
Yeah.
You scream, you struggle as best you can.
Yeah.
Your parents are where?
My parents were in New York visiting an aunt.
Oh, wow. So they're out of town.
Yes.
All right. This guy then proceeds to have intercourse with you?
Yes.
I can't hear
Phone
her.
Cut out.
Whatever she's saying. Please somebody tell us what she said.
Ken, what is she saying?
Yes.
Okay, who's saying?
He says, I'm sorry,
we have
the world's crappiest phone system. It cuts out, only we can't hear it. The rest of America can't.
Okay.
So he has intercourse with you.
Yes.
He forces intercourse on you.
Yes.
And has full penetration, has an orgasm.
This is, again, that having sex with a wildcat, bobcat.
You're struggling the whole time?
As much as I can. He put, gosh, you're going to make me cry. He put some type of, like, something. I'm not entirely sure what it was. It was the string to my bathrobe. And he put them around my hands. So I wasn't able really to struggle very much.
He tied you up with the drawstring. By the way, how about one of those drawstrings for my gown at the hospital yesterday, Drew? What about that?
They want ass cracks.
Scared we're going to get raped?
They want ass cracks.
Okay, so he essentially tied you up. He had sex with you.
Is this guy in jail now?
He got out after 6 days.
Wow.
He had an amazing lawyer, and somehow he said that he was under emotional stress because he had just gotten out of boot camp. And he said that the emotional stress from that, something happened and he snapped. And so he was sent to some type of a psychiatric facility where he was getting, I don't know, some kind of counseling.
Wow.
All right, so you're screaming for your friend. Hold on 1 second. We've talked about this a few times. I never understand, and I know logically it goes on every day, unfortunately. How a guy gets a good boner going when he's like wrestling. You know what I mean? Like struggling and fighting,
imagine.
People screaming,
yes,
people biting, people scratching. Look, I got to have something on the junk. You know, I got to have it in a shop vac or my hand on it or something. I got to be doing something. I don't just get a boner sort of while I'm wrestling. I'm not like a dog. You know what I mean?
But then,
how do you?
It has to be a very tumescent boner, as it were. Because
you
got to penetrate somebody who's dry.
Somebody. I mean,
yeah.
Look, I understand you do a thing where you go like, look, your sister's in the next room. I got her tied up. I'm going to put a bullet in her head unless you relax and give me some.
Right, right.
I don't understand how how you can struggle and have intercourse.
With a bobcat, basically.
Yeah, I mean, just someone who's scratching and screaming. And Angelina?
Yeah.
How is he able to actually have penetration with you when you're fighting and struggling and, you know, putting up making a fuss?
I'm not really sure. It didn't go in very easily. I had 22 stitches down there. So.
Oh my God!
Yeah, it was pretty traumatic. I mean, the doctor said it was one of the worst cases that they had seen. Wow. It wasn't. He just spit a lot and made it to where it was kind of.
And by the way, wow! What a thanks a lot to your girlfriend, by the way.
Yeah, what's with her that she'd be seeing this guy?
I don't think that she really had known him for very long, and she obviously didn't have a lot of self-esteem. She was putting up with a lot of stuff, I hear, later on, but I don't really speak to her.
I know. There's a million things to talk about, but the guy got essentially no time with all this forensic evidence, the 22 stitches in your vagina, stitches in his fingers, you know, tying you up and raping you brutally.
I know. I don't know how it happened either. We didn't get any type of satisfaction at all from either of our...
He had a tough time in boot camp, and so we did no time?
He apparently, according to them, he was traumatized by something that happened in boot camp where he says that he also had been attacked by a fellow...
Where he was raped.
That's what he's claiming. So no one, his mother, his brothers, his girlfriend, no one had heard of this. No one knew about that.
Wouldn't there be military records of that?
There was one man that said that he remembers him telling him, and that a guy, I don't know, some type of sergeant stepped forward and said,
right.
this he did say that this had happened.
This sounds almost incredible that he didn't get... I mean, this is the kind of thing you should be getting 30 years for.
Yeah, well, when my dad and I were trying to go over records and talking to lawyers, they said that the likelihood that just the fact that I had allowed him to come in my house at all, the fact that I had allowed him, and he claims that I was flirting with him the entire evening, and it was basically literally because she didn't hear anything and because she loved him and stood by him, it was their word against mine.
Oh, my God.
How about the 22, your girlfriend. How about the 22 stitches in the vagina?
There, again, though, because I don't know how they justified that either, but they just said that any type of... I mean, they didn't deny that there was some type of a struggle or there was some type of something, but they didn't think that it was a rape.
And you'd never had any physical encounter with this guy before?
Oh, no, never, ever. That was the first night I had ever met him.
First night you ever met him?
I mean, it's bizarre.
But she also said, though, after, she said that she was also very rough with her as well. And that I think that... What she didn't realize, she was a virgin, and I think what she didn't realize is that she was being mistreated by him as well and just didn't know.
Well, she's really a sick woman.
Well, listen, your friend. Okay, so
but
listen.
Angela, you obviously have a ton to talk about here with this, and you need to,
post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, it's a post-traumatic stress from this horrible thing.
Therapy.
And, of course, it's around your sexual experiences, and, of course, sexual feelings and sexual encounters with a man can evoke all kinds of heavy feelings now, having been through this. So, notice how you even started crying talking with us about it. There's still a lot more that needs to be kind of sorted through. You have to make a narrative of this that you can hold and feel safe about so you can begin to have sexual relations again without these sort of on-again, off-again kinds of feelings.
All right. We got to take a break. Anne?
Yeah?
You called a few weeks ago. Your boyfriend's the one that's in the coma?
Yeah, and I was having problems with the family.
All right, hold on.
I don't remember talking to her.
You don't remember that?
Was that
you were in a coma. You were in Boston. Right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Slow burn. Hey, everybody. What is snapping it? I'm the man that goes by the name of Ace. And that's Dr. Drew over there. Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Discussion we had with that young lady. I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
And it makes you
wonder. She's remarkably well-adjusted given what she's been through, for God's sakes.
Is there something, 22 stitches in her vagina, and a guy ties her up with a bathrobe tie, and, has bite marks on his fingers, and he gets a couple days in a mental ward? What's, Meanwhile, old Jack Kevorkian's doing 15 years in the joint.
He's a dangerous man. Can't have him out there running loose.
By the way, the prisons are overcrowded now. There's more people incarcerated in this country than I think just about any other country. Mm-hmm. It's alarming numbers, especially when you get to young black men and stuff like that. Do we have to have everyone in for the same thing? I mean, when is somebody going to stand up and just sort of make a proclamation and say, look, there's stuff we care about and there's stuff we don't care about. Yeah. Here's who we want in prison. We want the people in prison that are going to do harm to us.
Right.
Guy wants to blow his head off. Guy wants to shoot himself with some junk. Guy wants a pot plant in his backyard. Guy wants to go around and help put people out of their misery so they can die with a little dignity or, advanced stages of Lou Gehrig's disease. I don't care about him being in the joint. Guy wants to visit a prostitute. Guy wants to pimp a prostitute. Guy wants to sell some reefer at a Grateful Dead concert. I'm sure you could go through the prisons and weed out at least 60% of the people that were actually in the joint that we just don't give a rat's ass about as a society.
Right.
Take him out, put him in rehab, put him in job training, put him in a halfway house.
Right.
Come on, let's clear him out.
Yep.
They all got to be in there. Stupid mandatory sentencing and stuff. guy's, delivers a package of Coke or something for somebody. All of a sudden, he's doing 25 years. Yeah. It's mandatory, you know. Yeah, yeah. Well, how does this work, by the way? And how does it work that the government and that the powers that be and law enforcement, the prison system, the judges and all this, how is it that so many people are in the joint that society doesn't really care about? How is it that there's so many tickets handed out that people aren't interested in? How can, whatever they did to take down Heidi Fleiss when Heidi Fleiss was in here, they had task forces with hundreds of guys involved, these huge task forces. They do these things all the time, a Pee Wee Herman. They're sitting in the goddamn porn houses. These are these guys, they're cruising the Vice guys. Well, what's up? And then, of course, there's a kabillion meter maids. But then whenever you talk about violent crimes, like, hey, we don't have the manpower. We just physically don't have the manpower. We don't have the men. We don't have the resources. You don't? What about the 80 guys you got posing as Japanese tourists who could take down Heidi Fleiss and some of her 19-year-olds? What about those guys? We don't have the manpower. We can't check the container ships coming into the ports. Yeah. What about the flunky I see driving down the hill every night in the left-hand and the right-hand drive Chevette, who's handing out tickets to the good taxpayers up in the hills there? What about that flunky? We couldn't teach that flunky to stand out by the dock and hold a Geiger counter, one of the things. Where are all these people coming from? How come there's 30 flunkies sitting around fixing one goddamn pothole? We don't have the manpower. You got plenty of manpower. I see cops hiding behind signs and bushes. I see a goddamn meter maid every 10 feet. Where are all these guys? These task force. These guys we're going to bring down. Oh, these guys are selling pot. We're going to bring them down. There's a guy. This guy's growing a pot plant in his backyard. We're going to bring that guy down. You see, you got plenty of guys. Once you start putting them where we tell you to put them, dude. Am I the only guy who cares about this? Do I not give a rat's ass about a guy seeing a prostitute and smoking a little reefer?
Amen.
Got his bumper hanging into the red 4 inches. Am I the only guy who doesn't give a rat's ass about this? I mean, as a society, we care about terrorists. We care about violent crime. The rest, distant backseat. Oh, we got enforced, though. The guy lit up a cigarette at a bar. We got to get in. And then on the beach, you see a guy smoking. There's a 90-knot wind coming offshore. We got to shut that guy down. There's so many rules. There's so many goddamn regulations. There's so many people all over the place. We can't focus them on the things we're interested in. We want a prison population that's just half filled with people that don't need to be in there. How come nobody cares about this? How come no one says anything about this? What's going on with this? There's zero. It's like, oh yeah, we got millions of illegal aliens coming across the border into Los Angeles, Arizona. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing. We got cargo ships coming in with containers. We can't check those things. We got NBC News taking spent uranium and trucking it through downtown Los Angeles. We there's nothing we can do. We just don't have the we don't have the manpower. We got plenty of people. Where are they? Why don't you allocate them to what we want them to do? I don't understand this.
Oh, well, let's go to calls. It's going to be an opiate log here. The Vicodin is beginning to talk for you.
What's going
on? I know.
On?
I know. I'm with you.
What is going on?
I know.
All right. Can't we get a...
All right,
here we go. Don't worry. Mayor Han is going to put another arrow in on Venice. Like, goddamn Venice doesn't have enough effing arrows on it. It's going to start having arrows that point up, point down, and point sideways, and point toward Mecca. How many more goddamn arrows does Venice have? Yeah, Han, you're right on top of that. Fantastic. Oh, that's going to clear it up. Oh, well, all we need. Oh, that's right. We got the most congested intersections in the world here. You put another arrow on Venice. Good job. There you go. Oh, that's it. Our troubles are. Oh, it's over.
Utopia. Drew. Utopia.
You just shaved an hour off our commute. You're putting another goddamn arrow in there. Why don't someone put an arrow through your head, you idiot? Jesus,
that's an interesting
Christ.
Article where the palm trees are reaching the limit of their life expectancy throughout Los Angeles. So our city, the emblem of our city, is going to all die off.
Oh, no, it's going to become an arrow. It's a city of the arrow now. It's just one big red arrow. Idiots. please, people. I know it's become a nightly crusade for me. I'm going to end up like Lenny Bruce reading his court transcripts and being thrown off stage. Please drive through the Red Arrows. Please, please. I beg of you. I beg of you, drive through the Red Arrows. I do it every night. Please join me.
There you go.
Please join me.
Make some calls.
Don't be a lemming.
Join the
Corolla. Don't be a pussy. Please drive through the Red Arrow. Come to the signal. The signal will be green. The arrow will be red. Look left, right, then left again. Make sure there's no traffic coming. Look for cops and then drive right through it. Please. And any of you cops out there, pull me over. Please. Please. Ann?
Yes.
All right. So, let's see. 25. Yeah. Boyfriend in a coma.
Yeah. I spoke with you about 20 days ago, Adam.
And right.
And hey, first of all, I got to tell you guys, I love you guys. And I've been listening to you since I was about 11 years old. I'm 25 years old now. Oh, okay. And whatever happened to the number one Asian big boob queen?
Minka?
Yes.
She found Jesus Christ.
She's fallen. Number one Asian big boob queen.
I've been waiting to hear that clip. Play it one more time, please.
All right, let's hear it.
Number one Asian big boob queen.
I like the one where I asked her if she plays tennis anymore. Do you have,
don't
do you
play
have that
tennis
one?
No more.
One more time.
Don't play tennis no more.
I know under my circumstances, I shouldn't be asking about number one Asian baby.
If it makes you feel a little better, it's all right.
Yeah, right. Now
me and my fiancé always talk about love lines. And we've got this thing, he's in a coma now, but we've got this thing where we text message each other and we say, hey, are you thinking about the Holocaust?
What? All right, well, let me recap.
You guys know what I'm referencing.
Yes, we do.
Let me recap. Your boyfriend was rode his bike. He was like a bike messenger. He wore his helmet every time, but for this one time, he did not wear his helmet.
Yes. Uh-oh.
He went out. And he got clipped.
Uh-oh.
And he got severe head trauma, and he was in a coma.
Yes. Uh-oh.
Now, his parents don't want you having a say in what happens to him.
Not only
now
that
he's been in a coma.
Not only that, but, okay, me and my
he's
my
been in a coma for how many days now? It's been 40
days.
Oh, boy.
49?
Man, this is bad.
49. And I know the prognosis is very severe.
And true. When is coma never a good thing, but when do you start going?
More than a couple of days, it's bad.
You're in a coma for 6 days, it's like,
It's going to be a different, completely different person when he wakes up.
If he were
to wake up, it would be a total...
No one improved? No one improved?
No, other person gone.
And what the doctors have been telling us is that don't even expect him to have any quality of life. And I understand
that. Right.
Now, what's going on in my situation is this, is that I've lived with this man for coming up very, very close in weeks, a few days, or 3 years. In a few days, it will be 3 years that we've lived together.
Okay.
Yes.
And his family is from... lives in Mexico.
Okay.
Now, the day after the accident, of course, I had to call all his family and let them know what had happened. And they come up here. And because we're not married, they're taking advantage of the fact that I don't have medical directive or power of attorney over him.
But what is it that you want to do?
I want to, at this point, they have said, you're not allowed to visit him and you're not allowed to know any of his medical care.
Well, hold on.
At this point, I'm ready to file conservatorship, guardianship over him.
Hold on a second. I don't even know that they can decide you can't visit him.
By law called the HIPAA law.
Yeah, the HIPAA law can prevent you from having access to... This is Bill Clinton's law,
which is a
nightmare.
Oh, believe
it
me.
I've
been through it.
But the HIPAA laws prevent you from having access to any information about him. I don't know that they necessarily can restrict visitation.
The social worker at the hospital has said, she notified me Saturday and said, I am not allowed to return to the hospital to visit him.
Okay.
You may have a right.
Yeah. But what else has family got against you visiting him?
Since I met his family when I first started dating him, it was an issue of, they're Mexican, I'm white, they didn't like me to begin with.
Oh, really?
The first time I met his father was about 6 months after we started dating.
All right.
Can you just appeal to him just as a human being and say, does he speak English?
Very little English. And I believe me, I've tried every angle. I've tried...
Okay. All right. Listen. Anyway, what do they want to do with him? Keep him on life support? He's got 50 days
in a coma. The other thing on top of this is that I found out that his father has been going down to his employer's office and demanding that he is named as his life insurance beneficiary, which they can't do legally. I'm named as his life insurance beneficiary. So right. I have a feeling that's why they're not letting me visit him, and there's a guard there.
All right. Look, here's what you're going to need. I'm sorry his family's a pain in the ass.
Well, I can't afford an attorney if you're going there.
What's that?
I can't afford an attorney.
Well,
they consult with Legal Aid Society.
They have Legal Aid Societies where they do pro bono.
Yeah.
Work and they can help you out, because look, obviously there's nothing we can do to straighten this out. Go to a Legal Aid Society, like Drew said, see if you can get somebody to do some pro bono work. Just do a little bit of legwork, get on the computer, get on the internet, see how these things work, see how the visitation things work, see how being named a benefactor for his life insurance and
what
stuff work
thing.
And then it's a mess, but there's nothing we can do, and I'm sorry his parents are a pain in the ass.
Oh, it's so awful. I'm so sorry.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Let's hop back to the phones. Prozac sex drive. Ex-girlfriend told him her kid is his. Just started getting headaches.
Kegel exercises.
Oh, Kegel exercises. I haven't talked about Kegels for a while. Right. Joe?
Hello?
See, talking to a guy about
it's
it.
Dude.
Know,
hello?
Yeah, you want to do Kegel exercises?
Yeah, you guys always recommend them, but you never explain what they actually do and how the heck you do them.
We don't recommend them very often.
Very rarely recommend them. How do you do them, Joe?
B, they are merely contraction of the muscles of the floor of the pelvis. If you want to know how to contract or feel that contraction, try interrupting the flow of urine sometimes. That's the muscles. And you're basically supposed to do 10 rapid contractions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 10 prolonged contractions where you hold each for a count of 10. And you do like 4 sets of that. So rapid followed by the prolonged holding. Do that 3 or 4 times a day.
And it's supposed to help you...
For men,
stave off ejaculation.
For men, in some men, it may help control ejaculation. For women, it's supposed to give them more of a more tone in the pelvic floor.
Speaking of that, when can I beat off again?
I don't think there's any withholding on that.
Really?
I don't think so. No.
I'm scared like a geyser of blood will come out.
Your soul might
and
emerge.
And like a syringe
and
a stitch.
And the anesthesiologist will poke out and wave at you.
Yeah. Really? I mean, you know, now looking back on my strategy of making racial remarks to my anesthesiologist,
not the best move,
just
huh?
before he put me under, probably not a
great
plan.
Not
a great plan. John?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yeah.
Your girlfriend likes you to choke her during sex?
Yeah, she does.
Mm-hmm.
She, seems to like it more like when I'm actually, like, getting off, like, at the end, you know? But throughout the whole thing, I mean, we can be in public and she'll grab my hand and put it on her throat.
Let me say this. That's an erogenous zone for a woman, the neck.
Yeah,
they like biting on the neck. They like a little pressure on the neck. I'm not sure what that is. They like most women like their neck like bitten or nibbled or gnawed on, or you know, it's you know, that powerlessness feeling or powerless feeling, I should say. I don't know what that is, but obviously you strangling her at a restaurant,
not a great plan.
Yeah. Has she ever physically abused?
I asked her that, and she said no, never, or sexually abused or anything. And she also likes just being restrained in general, tied up, that sort of thing.
As long as it's not a necessary thing for her.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think this is kind of our rule. If your wacky behavior was not born from some abuse, meaning it's just kind of what you're into now, but you're not forced to do it based on some weird abuse of the past... we'll let it slide.
Yeah.
It's like organic at that point.
Right.
You're not acting something out from the past.
Precisely.
All right. Let's talk.
Although God knows it has some basis, but not something profound.
April?
Hello?
There we are.
16. Hi, Adam.
Hey, what's going
on? Hi, Drew.
Hey, April.
First, I have to say that I praise Adam.
You what?
I praise Adam.
You praise me?
Yeah, I think you're wonderful.
Thank you, baby doll. I really am quite unique.
Well, my question I'm 16, and I was raped when I was 13, and since then I've been on Prozac.
Yeah.
And recently, like this past year, I've been having like a lot of sexual urges, and I was wondering if that was normal.
Do you act on them?
Yes.
Hmm. Do you get yourself in sort of unpleasant situations as a result?
Not really. It's just more like straightforward. Like, you know, I don't act them out. I just like, you know.
All right. Do you have a boyfriend?
Yes.
Who raped you when you're 13?
My ex.
Your ex. Mm-hmm.
Well, look, Prozac normally shuts people down sexually unless it induces sort of a manic state. So if you've been feeling manic where you don't sleep a lot, you're making grandiose gestures and buying lots of things, I'd look into that. If, on the other hand, merely you're 16, you're with your boyfriend, you find you want to be sexual with him, that's kind of a normal feeling. So I don't see much abnormal with that. And having been raped sometimes make people feel hypersexual as a way of trying to sort of resolve the trauma.
All right. Well, good times. And I got the big green light on beating off, so I got to hustle.
Yeah, you
got to
hurry home.
Through.
Yeah.
May have squeezed one off on the ride.
No doubt.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Well, that's the show. I got to get going. I got to drive through some of those red arrows, Drew.
Okay. To get to your masturbatory
Venice.
Yeah.
All right, coppers, come get me. I want to thank Engineer Anderson for putting in a good three quarters of a week. I want to thank Engineer Ken for stepping in last second and doing a yeoman's job. Producer Ann for calling me on the job site. Oh, yes. I was at work today. And junior producer Lauren for doing a fantabulous job. And, of course, engineer Chris over here has got to hustle home because his mom is making him.
Brian.
Oh, what's
that? Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, Brian, yeah. Phone screener Brian doing a fantastic job.
And Chris's mom's making menudo.
She's making quesadillas tonight.
Quesadillas.
No, he's got to head home. So. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.